Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Series X episode, Roms for Baghdad 185, long-titled podcast names. I'm your host, Alby. Joining me today, Jake.
That's me, hello.
Hi, Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, good. Also joining us, Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Hi. Merry Christmas.
I get it. Because your name's Mary. I get it. Okay. And we have DJ. Hi, DJ.
Welcome to the sex box.
Oh, no. Are we going to start with that? Are we going to start with that? Should we just start with... We start with a little Xbox talk? I think that name's bad. I don't like
that
name.
Which one? Sexbox or Xbox Series X?
That's like the most low effort joke like ever.
That's the internet for you. So
it was funny for like 30 seconds.
Like,
it's,
I don't know.
Forever funny.
It's fine. Like that in the Sexbox names, you know, everyone loves that. But I'm talking about mainly the actual name of the console, the Xbox Series X. I think that's just too, it's too much. It's too long. I know it's probably going to be shortened down to XXSX.
Probably just SX.
XX.
SX. SXX. Tricky.
No.
Oh. That would be a better name, though. Just name it the Xbox XXX Tricky. It'd be pretty good. You know?
Sex Tricky.
Okay. Is it? Oh, I don't want to go there. Yeah, I don't know. It's just it looks like a giant box. That's all I'll say. It just looks like a giant box. And
it ultimately looks like it's one of those alien steam machines.
Yeah.
Which Alienware had one of them. But yeah, it looks like a steam machine to me.
Just one color too. I think that's maybe the thing. Like I like the Xbox kind of is like a white and gray kind of black look. Like I like the maybe even green or something, like, you know,
you
add me a second color.
Colors.
You know, so
in that video, I swear it had like the top vent port had green in there. So I don't know
I
if that's
that
just
too. Yeah.
It does.
An LED. Yeah. Is that going to be like just a green fan? I hope it's an LED that just emits green light in your room.
Yes, just a giant beacon out of the top. Just
yes.
Huge green light.
Oh, I hope it's an X as well.
If anything, it's
yes!
Probably just like
yes!
A really, it's probably just a really subtle green glow, I guess,
yeah,
just to
that's
show you
need.
That it's on.
Just the laser.
I hope you can turn that off in the system settings because I don't
yeah.
need that.
Probably.
But also,
I want
nobody's
a
getting
X.
This. But also,
I heard. I heard that you can put it on its side, so I'm hoping that it's got like the PlayStation 2 thing where you can take the logo and spin it.
Okay.
What if they redesign the logo so that it's like the exact same every position?
That would be stupid.
But I could see it happening. Sure. That's a marketing thing. Somebody would be like, so are we going to redesign the logo? Or I could see it.
I think they would have done that, though, before they, like, unveiled the system, though.
What's the image? Let's see it.
What an absolutely bizarre time to unveil a new system.
Why not?
I mean, because it just drops in the beginning of this press conference, and then, like, I mean, in the beginning of the Game
Awards,
Awards and it's
Awards
like...
Awards show.
Hey, here's our
E3,
new console.
E3 is not the thing anymore. We've, that's,
well,
yeah.
Sure. But I'm saying, like,
we've why... passed that, like, a couple years back now.
Why not have it at, like, your own show? Like, just do a little, like...
Well, they're probably still going to do that, too, so that way they can get some of the...
They just showed the box and the controller,
and the name.
Which the D-pad looks like it's fucking shit again.
It's the Elite D-pad, and I've not heard...
No, it's not.
On that.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's, like, a 360
it like
D-pad.
It.
It's, like, a circular thing with, like, raised D-pad on it, like a 360, like that, yeah.
Yeah, but
the audio listener, Mary, is holding up her 360
D-pad.
Controller.
Oh, that does kind of look like. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, look at the Xbox One D-pad. Is a proper D-pad without that fucking circle bullshit.
Oh no, the Elite D-pad is like that. It's just the Elite just looks really more like nuanced.
Doesn't
with
the Elite have like multiple right. D-pads you can switch it out with or something too?
It does. Okay. Yeah. I think. I mean, all of the photos I've seen of the Elite controller has that stupid looking D-pad on it.
I don't know. I just would have rather just like announce it. It just felt like a weird thing to begin the thing with. Like, I would have rather that have been, we're going to close with one last thing. We'll bring out Phil Spencer right at the end to kind of be a big, like, here's the looking forward to the future. I think Reggie kind of talked about the past. Now here's the, you know.
Phil Spencer didn't want to have to sit through the whole VGAs. And yeah, I don't blame him.
I mean, I wouldn't have to watch Green Day either, but that's maybe just me.
I skipped all of that Green Day.
It was bad.
They played Welcome to Paradise as their first song, which is a good song, and then they played something off one of their new albums, and I was just like, and muted, because this is fucking terrible.
I muted it and got a beer during that second song.
I thought the first song was bad, too. It was just like,
fuck you.
Lifeless. It was a little lifeless. Performance, maybe. Not the song. Song's fine. Just, I felt like the performance was a little like, all right, we're going to hit all the notes. We have to play this song. This is the one that, you know, everybody knows.
They've been, well, to be fair, they have been playing it since, like, when did Dookie come out? 1994?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, I think. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no disrespect to them. Like, you know, I'm sure they've played it more times than, oh my God, I can't even imagine. millions of times, but it was just a little like, oh, okay, yeah, that song, uh-huh, cool.
So you're totally right about that D-pad. That does look like the 360 D-pad. The only saving grace that they might get from that controller is if they have the Elite little clicky things on the underside. Now the Steam controller actually has them.
I would assume all our controllers now would work with that too, right? Have we moved past the point where, like, each console has specific controllers and only work for that console? Like, I feel like it's just going to be a Bluetooth kind of controller thing.
Xbox Xbone controllers only.
Think? Really? You don't think
I'm sure
Xbox
the older Xbox One controllers.
The Xbox
I'm pretty sure
family.
They even said that the Xbox One controllers will work on it.
Yeah, that's what I
think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the main new thing with this controller is that it has a share button now, like the PS4 controller. Yeah, big deal. Whatever.
The worst thing about the PlayStation 4 controller is the share button, which I keep pressing and trying, and it always pops that stupid thing up.
How do you accidentally press the share button?
Because I'm always going for like options or something like that, and you think. Because the old thing had, right, you had start button and then the options button or the select button, and I keep thinking it's the, keep thinking I'm going to press the options button by pressing that one.
It's the one on the left. Look at all that
dust. Or you're using the touchpad and you slightly roll off and it hits it.
What was what?
You got some stuff on your square button there.
So I wiped,
that thing's disgusting.
I had to wipe this off because there was so much dust on it. Yeah, I have literally not used my PS4 in like a year.
That just kind of reminded me of something. I finally got a box to send my old work laptop back, like after 3 months of not working at that company and me contacting them several times and saying, hey, I don't have a box to send this laptop back to you yet. They finally got one to me, and the thing was covered in dust. I just put it in the box. I didn't even wipe it off.
Fuck you guys.
Double middle fingers in the air. It's like, fuck you guys.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know.
It's fucking gross. Just had like dust and like, cause it sat on my desk and I worked at my desk for like 2 years. So I like ate lunch and stuff and it just got nasty. I was like, nah, somebody else can deal with this. Fuck them.
It's always the joysticks for me with my controllers that get like, I don't know, they get frayed, dusty. Like dusty, like kind of gross. Like those are the ones I always get.
Never happens. Clean your hands. Stop eating Cheetos while playing games.
Man, Doritos, Locos, tacos.
Get on that eating Doritos and Cheetos with chopsticks game.
I wish I could use chopsticks. I've never.
You laugh, but it's effective.
I know.
It keeps your fingers clean.
Yeah, it would do.
I feel like I failed the anime podcast by not being able to use chopsticks, but maybe that's just me. Mary, your
it's
thoughts?
Not that
I can
hard.
Barely do it.
It's not that hard. Like the one person who's not on the anime podcast, I can use chopsticks. I have titanium chopsticks, actually. I bought some.
I just stab. I just, you know, you gotta
it's
go.
It's so hard.
It's so
just,
hard.
I made the mistake of getting round ones, though, instead of square ones.
Yeah.
Because the round ones just like roll around. And it's hard to like keep a good grip on them. But the rectangular ones don't do that. And they're way easier to. Because they're metal and they have like they're slick. Mary's holding up pencils. Like, what are you talking about, dummy?
It's easy peasy. I don't think batteries are going to be difficult to emulate chopsticks with, but.
You don't think they work? Okay, that's fair. I don't know. Just really struggle with chopsticks. And I struggle with the appeal of the Xbox Series X.
I think it looks cool.
I think the box looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I will pass
me
on
too.
That controller. I will happily pass on that controller.
The D-pad just... Ugh.
Well, you're going to get one when you buy it anyway, so...
It's fucking sad.
You're also not going to buy this, right? Because we all just use Game Pass anyway.
Probably not.
Depends on price. I mean, I've got Game Pass, so if I... If I'm going to buy a future console, it's more likely this because I have Game Pass.
Right.
For like 2 years.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know.
I'm just going to continue using my not Bluetooth Xbox One gamepad for my PC and just use the big fucking dongle that it came with.
Okay. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be, like you said, kind of like a Steam. One of the Steam things, just like a mini computer at this point, because Xbox streaming is so big. Like, just here you go. Also, it's gonna be like a chopsticks. You know, you can use it for everything. You can do anything you want with it. It'll just be a nice box. Yeah. I don't know. I just felt like it was a weird time to drop it, just right in the beginning. I would rather drop it at the end.
But I mean, that would have been way more impactful than that. Garbage ass looking Fast and the Furious game.
Holy shit, that was so good.
Seriously, what the fuck?
Looks like a PS1 game, folks.
It was.
Yeah, I wouldn't say PS1. That's like a PS3 game.
If you look up images of the PS3 game, The Wheel Man, Vin Diesel is
okay.
in.
Yep. Right.
His character model, it does
that.
Look better than the images that they showed on this on the VGAs. Yeah, it was upsetting.
So I guess we're just in news now. You want to talk about
the VGAs? Legitimately thought it was a phone game. Like, I wasn't even trolling or whatever. I was like, oh, this is for phones, right?
Do we just want to talk about the VGAs?
Let's just do the news now.
Yes, yeah.
Let's do a little different.
Sure.
Let's do news and
let's
then the
mix
games.
It up a little bit.
A little spice.
Mix it up a little bit.
A little spice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I thought that Vinji was a terrible looking game. I was surprised by the amount of goddamn Magic the Gathering games, properties, IPs.
Well, a lot of them were like commercials, but they were like sort of announcing things via commercials.
Well,
that they
I
were running
basically all of those Samsung things.
Yeah.
So was there
I just muted them.
Stuff? Yeah.
There's
a
MMO, a Magic the Gathering MMO coming.
I skipped that magic stuff too.
I believe there's like a story thing too, like a story heavy single player game. Is that my understanding of that trailer where that lady was grabbing dead people and in a pool of dead people? Like, I thought that was
sure.
So a lot of Magic the Gathering, which is very strange. I think the Magic the Gathering game Legends. Legends,
maybe
was the MMO name title, coming out very soon, created by Cryptic and the Perfect World, Cryptic and Perfect World, friends of the show, Perfect World.
What?
Hey, I like Secret World. Don't judge me.
No, Perfect World and Secret World are two different things. Perfect World is a publisher that handles games in China.
Yes.
Games like Dota 2 and Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
And they created Secret World. I believe. I think.
I don't think they did.
MMO. I don't know if they did.
I could have sworn I was on their forum for a while. Secret World. Maybe they just wanted the public Funcom.
Perfect world.
I don't see it listed. Listen,
it's all a deep twist here is that Abby doesn't know anything about Chinese. But anyway, I feel like I've seen that. Anyway, we'll move on. It's Funcom that developed it. I thought Perfect World. Maybe it was just publisher in China then. I don't know. Might be good. Might be bad. Who knows? MMO in 2019. New one. That's strange. That doesn't happen every day. Anything else stuck out to you guys?
It probably happens way more often than you think. We just don't hear about them because they die.
That's true.
Bravely Default 2, okay. Even though there kind of was a second Bravely Default game.
Yeah.
I was like, wasn't Second Layer?
Yeah. Bravely Second or whatever it was called.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that doesn't count because this is the real number two.
It's just a do-over. It's a mulligan.
I don't think the actual second did very well, and that's my understanding, Mariette.
I don't think it did either, yeah. But this is coming out on Switch, and it's the team that did Bravely Default, the original one, and also a few people that worked on Octopath Traveler, so that's neat. The trailer looked good. I'll play it.
Okay. That Player Unknown game called Prologue kind of legitimately looked good from that tiny-ass trailer.
It was just a shot of a forest.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
But I was very excited.
Is that supposed to be like...
There was some lead-up stuff. They were talking about it either before or after because, you know how Keighley does it. But yeah, there was some info about it.
Is it supposed to be like the story of the Player Unknown's Battlegrounds like universe or something? Okay, sure.
Also, maybe like that a can new be cool. thing for Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. Like the thing that was impressive is they seem to imply that that's actual in game. Like that'd be neat for actually like just port that over to the multiplayer.
But
because the environments never looked that good.
We got to remember that Player Unknown is like a person who came up that's with true. This.
Yeah,
so this might just be him person. Working with a completely different company, just has his name on the box. His head or something. This might not even be related to Battlegrounds at all.
I went to playprologue.com. The copyright is 2019 PUBG, all rights reserved.
Oh, okay.
And then there's also PP, PlayerUnknown Productions, Prologue, and Play Prologue are trademarks or service marks of PUBG. But I think PUBG is like his overall company name. But yeah, their tiny paragraph.
PUBG Corp.
Yeah, their tiny paragraph on the page is, Prologue is an exploration of new technologies and gameplay. Our aim with this game is to give players unique and memorable experiences each and every time they play. So they still don't really describe what this game is.
It sure is a video game that they're making.
Prologue, yeah.
That's all we know.
The best game, Prologue. I thought the Hellblade 2 trailer was very intense. I thought that lady yelled at me while I was in that trailer and it scared me.
Does that game need a sequel?
I never played the first one, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
I haven't played the first one. But from what I gathered, it had a lot of like messaging about mental health and stuff like that. Yeah. And people, it was praised for that kind of like portrayal of that. And them just cashing in on it with a sequel just seems like that kind of cheapens that a little bit to me.
Sure.
At least.
Unless they approach it differently, unless they had more.
I haven't played it. So that's just a complete outsider's perspective. Sure. Like, I'm just like, that's kind of weird. Like, it feels like they made the first one with more of like a message in mind, and they just happened to make a pretty cool game at the same time.
It's on VR, isn't it? I've been waiting for that to get cheap. Something like that is on VR.
I haven't heard about that.
Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice is a masterpiece in VR. People say it's actually a good VR game. Came out last year, but then they were also like charging full price for it, so that's also why I didn't get it.
Probably a good move.
But yeah, they showed that as like the first Series X game right after they announced the console, basically. It's coming exclusively on Xbox consoles and PC, so it's probably going to come out on the Xbox One as well.
I can see a lot of games for the first year coming out on both platforms.
Yeah, I could see that too.
You guys.
Uh-huh.
You guys.
Uh-huh.
The Wolf Among Us Season 2 is coming out.
And it's free right now. Holy in the Epic shit. Game Store.
The first one. Yeah, the first one's free. So I need to try that.
I need to
go play that if you haven't.
I will.
Go play that.
It's this week. We're going to get that done. Very excited.
And there's people like, apparently they brought back like the writer from the first one, from the first season, and like a bunch of the devs and stuff. Like this, the studio is like Telltale Games in name only.
Right.
But yeah, I remember being made we talked by, about like, that when it got.
Yeah, it's
up.
Being made by a team of people, of former Telltale people. Including the writers from the or the writer from the first one.
I mean,
that's so cool. I totally was not expecting that.
Wasn't the word on the street that they had most of Wolf Among Us 2 kind of done, like a large portion of it at least?
I think so. Like to the point where they're able to say they were working on it.
I would assume then they had some kind of financial.
Because they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some kind of financial backer come in and say, hey, let's just finish this game. We have a pretty much done product. We'll bring in part of the team and see how it does. I mean, if it sells well, maybe Telltale will be back without terrible management.
I don't think this one game is going to bring them back. Like, I think they're just doing this out of the goodness of their hearts, which, thank you. Thank you. Waiting 5 fucking years. 2014, right, is when they season 1 finished, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
But man, oh my God, when that trailer kicked in, and I just heard the music, I was like, no fucking way. Like that was the one thing from the Game Awards. I like actually got up from my computer and like had my hands on my head, like YouTube React gamer moment. Not a gamer moment, but you know. I yelled very loudly when the words came up on the screen. I was like, what the fuck? That's awesome. Didn't really give much of a shit about anything else at the Game Awards.
Yeah, a lot that I outside of that.
Yeah, there was a lot of nothing. Like, I don't care about these League of Legends single player things that have fancy trailers and I'm like, oh, this seems like a cool new game. And then they're like, a League of Legends story. And I'm like, God damn it. Great.
They missed a perfectly good opportunity to call their game that was like clearly about like pirate ships and like the ocean. Why did they call it Leagues of Legend? Leagues like the ocean? Come on. What are you doing? I just hit my mic. I'm sorry for both the audio and the video listeners.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of League of Legends and a lot of Magic the Gathering. And then Dungeons and Dragons comes out and fucks up with that terrible trailer. Worst trailer I've seen in years. It's very bad.
Okay, so it's called Dark Alliance.
Uh-huh.
And part of me is like, is it? It's not related to the old Baldur's Gate games.
No,
at all.
It is not.
Is it?
They're
okay,
They're using the R.A. Salvatore stories about, like, Drist. Dark Elf. I don't know how to say his fucking name, but the game is supposed to be like those games.
Really? Like, same style? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 4-player co-op and everything.
Kind of like an action RPG, like, beat 'em up, direct control. You're not clicking around on a fucking...
Sure.
Sweet. Yeah. Sign me up. I will play the shit out of one of those.
Me too.
Loved the first two. Champions of Norrath is also like basically the same game. Also a great game.
But yeah, they should have shown off the fact that it's a sequel to one of those awesome games instead of here's the weird ass dumb Steadicam like CG bullshit. That was bad.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay. Like, well, it was kind of
It was goofy for sure, but I was like, okay, this is different. It's not like we didn't like take a fucking slow, dark cover of some popular music from 20 years ago and put it over this and have this person like sulking around. And it's like, no, they put steady cams on these motherfuckers and they're going around killing people with axes and shit. It was awesome. I thought it was cool.
Okay.
I would have liked it if they showed the game some, though, instead of just all that.
I just felt
See, I wouldn't even be questioning if they had shown at least some of the gameplay. I've been like, oh, that's perfect. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I saw Dark Alliance like later, and I was like, okay, so it's really one of those games, good, because I couldn't tell from that trailer.
Sweet. Okay, that's two things that I'm excited about then.
Anything else? Anything else you guys are super excited about?
I mean, they showed a Final Fantasy VII remake trailer that basically had nothing new in it. I'm still excited. You can do the jerk off motion. I will be doing that really seriously though when it comes out. I'll be like, yeah.
I really liked the one that they showed where it was like, I hope you aren't, are you planning on leaving Midgar anytime soon? And my head is like, nobody is, because the next part of the game is not coming out for 6 more fucking years.
It's true.
Well, I think there have been interviews where they've said, like, the game only takes place in Midgar. Like, they've confirmed that. But it is expanded. They have expanded extra shit universe in there. So it should be longer. I don't care. I mean, it's a whole new game, right? Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, it's going to be completely different.
No, it's a remake of Final Fantasy VII.
I don't know how much it's
they've added in new scenarios, new characters. There's going to be new shit in there.
Are they rebooting Final Fantasy VII?
Basically.
It's more that. Like that one lady. What's the lady with the ponytail, Mary? Not Tifa and not Aerith.
Jesse.
Like, she never had Avalanche. Any. Like, she had no lines in the entire Final Fantasy VII originally, but now she's like a character with a probably background and stuff. Like, it's a ground up.
Yeah, they're going into more detail with Avalanche and stuff, but the funniest part of the trailer for me was hearing Barrett actually say, like, can't you hear the planet cloud? It's dying. I just thought that was the dumbest line, like, in the actual game, and to hear it actually voice acted was great. It was so dumb. So yeah, I'm still excited for that game. Whatever.
Very excited.
Yuffie?
She's not in.
She's a secret ninja lady. She's a ninja. You don't get her until after Midgar. Unless they change shit. I don't know.
Could be, yeah. They could do. I mean, I think they've made implications that they're willing to change everything. Like, maybe even the ending. Like, they're willing to go make a completely different game.
You get summons in the game now, where originally you didn't get, like, your first summon materia until after you leave the city, so.
What's so funny, Jake? What's so funny?
Just reading the chat. That is an excellent gimmick account, by the way. Whoever made that, yes. A+. That is an excellent gimmick account.
Wow.
WWE creative team chimes in with, hey, look, fuck the Game Awards. WWE 2K20 didn't win Game of the Year.
I don't think it was nominated. Chef's kiss.
Not even sports.
Not even nominated, you know? Could have won sport game of the year. Nobody cared about that category. Let's give it to WWE.
Yeah, especially when, like, Sekiro won. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Disco Elysium, but yeah.
Man.
Disco Elysium won some awards, which was cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Death Stranding won less awards than everybody thought it would, which is big ups.
Good.
That's fair. They still won.
Mads.
Death Stranding got best music and best performance and best direction. Yeah. So.
The best music thing pissed me off a lot because Cadence of Hyrule was in that. There was music made for the game. The game is about music. It is a music game, and Death Stranding beat it.
Maybe
Cadence of Hyrule should have had some better music in it.
Damn! The back Mary with the three.
Maybe they should have hired Low Roar. Record
some dumb bullshit for this fucking game. Here, give us a award. Thanks.
The music did add a lot to that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's good music. Yeah. But yes, I agree.
Didn't you listen to churches at the opening of the whole thing? Didn't you see the tiny lady?
Did you see her face with black goo?
Get gooped? It was a music performance at an award show. I muted that shit.
But churches, spelled with a V.
I was in the process of going over to the mute button for Green Day before I heard that they were playing Welcome to Paradise, and I listened to that, and then I muted the rest of it.
Also, the Grimes thing was bad. I muted it.
I muted that.
I forgot about that. Yep.
Listen,
where she turned into Cortana at the end or whatever. She went in the video game and
really, yeah, I actually kind of. A few of us were in Discord, and we were all like, "Yeah, that sounds like it made more sense with Cyberpunk because it's a different Cyberpunk than you're used to. Like, it has more. I mean, they've implied like there's more." Immigrants in the Cyberpunk city. What's it called?
Wow.
Like, stuff like a lot more.
Well, the story is about like AIs and letting AIs be free on the net and shit. So it kind of makes sense. Like she became an AI, like Johnny Silverhand's girlfriend that you're supposed to save. I've read too much shit about this game.
Like it had more of a hip hop flair than I think you're used to with like Cyberpunk or something like that. Like it had a little bit more, I don't know. Edge to
or
it
like
then.
One of those YouTube personalities.
Pop can be Cyberpunk too.
Sure. I like that song a lot. That was a good song. I don't know. It's going to have a great moment and you're all going to love it. Grimes. It's going to have one of those great moments in this game. You're going to be like driving in the cyberspace in the Matrix and you're going to be like this song
we've already
is
seen
so good.
We've already seen the great moment and that was the Keanu Reeves reveal.
Yeah
that's true. Yeah.
What? Driving in that game is bad. That game's not out.
Remember that first 20-minute like developer showing at E3 last year or some shit? There's a segment where they're driving and the speedometer says they're going like 70 miles an hour, which is fucking stupid in a post-apocalyptic-like world. You should be going like 140 miles an hour. Who gives a shit? And then B, the actual like outside world makes it look like it's going 20 miles an hour at most. It's bad.
We'll see. Everything can change.
I wouldn't be surprised if that driving's basically like on rails, where you're like stuck in a lane and then you just hold left and then eventually it'll turn left or some shit.
Well, I mean, they had the horse in Witcher 3. I'm sure they can have drivable stuff.
That's like an open-worldy business. Like,
give me a cyberpunk horse.
Yeah, that I'll take.
Okay, what if that song plays when you get on a cyberpunk horse?
I want a floating car. It's cyberpunk. You should have a flying car. I've seen...
Give me a floating cyberpunk horse.
Okay.
It's all wireframey and low poly. Yeah.
Night City, right? That's what it's called.
Yes.
Cool. The only thing I wanted to mention was Weird West. That is based off an RPG, a tabletop RPG that I like a lot. So, it's cool. Weird West.
I want to mention No More Heroes 3, which had a Swerve trailer, and I liked
it. The Swerviest.
Yeah, that trailer was pretty good.
I've never played
it. I was on board... up to and past the reveal of the Swerve. I was like, that looks cool. And then it's like, No More Heroes. Yeah. I was like, all right, sweet.
I'm surprised you're not more into it, Albie, with how like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure it ended up looking at the end. Yeah, the aliens, they look like stands. Like,
I should play No More Heroes stuff at some point.
You should,
background.
They're good. The first two games are really cool.
Yeah, those aliens look JoJo as fuck, and I've never seen JoJo's Bizarre Adventure outside of, like, memes on YouTube.
Okay.
I put a timestamp of the cyberpunk driving.
Okay, thank you.
I know they're in a city, but it looks so fucking slow, and, like, the place looks tight enough where you can't even go very fast either.
Sure, I could see that. I wonder if this was before or after they made that shot.
It is a post-apocalyptic cyberpunk. Maybe the speedometers are just broken.
It's
and nobody
bad.
Cares to fix them.
I mean, this footage I'm watching, they're going like 30, so...
Yeah, it's all bad.
I don't know. I like to swerve in and out of traffic. That's pretty neat. When he's driving and shooting out the side and it's like swerving in and out. That looks pretty good. It does look on rails though, almost to a certain extent. I wonder how much they actually have the driving engine even in yet.
You skip ahead.
Well, there's a part where literally the player is like, take the wheel, Jack, and then you're just shooting and it is on rails, so I don't know.
A little after there is like normal driving, but like, just no. No, thank you.
We'll see. Trust in the cyberpunk.
I won't.
Okay, well, I think you'll be impressed by that game, I think.
I'll believe it when I see it, yeah.
Yep.
Hey.
I want a flying car.
The Witcher 3 is one of the best games ever made. Thank you. It's very good. Hot take. And that's
okay,
it.
Okay, bud.
I think that's all I have to say.
You don't want to talk about the cringy Mirage Halo, like, not that Halo, Apex Legends holiday thing, holiday.
We really, I just wanted a Titanfall at the end and it be announcement for Titanfall 3. That's all I wanted. Just a Titan to crash onto that platform behind him and it's like, we're making Titanfall 3, everybody.
That was done live, by the way. There was somebody in like a mocap suit doing that, which was pretty fucking cool. Like, I thought it was just like a recorded thing that they just rehearsed it really well, so the timing was down pat. But no, that was actually somebody in a suit behind the stage somewhere in the building with a futuristic camera pointed at them.
I assume the voice actor, right? Because that was his voice.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
That was kind of neat technology-wise, but it went on for so long.
Truth.
It did, yes. Too long.
Yeah.
But the main thing I gotta say about the VGAs, I was disappointed there was no train wrecky element like previous years. Like, there were some people leaving, like, after Green Day played, and that was, like, there weren't people, like, super drunk saying, fuck the Oscars, or anything fun like that, so I was a little disappointed on that end.
There was, like, the early reveal of the Star Wars stuff for Fortnite or something. It just kind of, that was kind of funny.
I skipped all of that. I was like, what is happening here? No thanks.
TIE Fighter, more like Tie-In Fighter. Got him.
Yep.
Boom, pow. Got him.
When it's true, it's true.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, it was just, I mean, there was a big announcement, but it was still kind of boring. Like,
It was all like, it was very front-loaded. Watching it like a couple of hours after it aired, it was very front-loaded. All the good stuff happened real early. And then, like, the last hour was just a real drag.
Yep. Just waiting for that Game of the Year announcement, and it's just like, well.
Pretty much.
It's done.
Yep. They announced that, and I just closed the stream, and I was like, I'm going to go play Boneworks.
Cool. Do you guys want to talk about more news, or do you want to talk about Boneworks?
Yes, that's why I said I'm going to go play Boneworks. That was the...
Okay, Boneworks. Tell me about Boneworks.
You're the worst.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if it's like he knew and just made the bit.
And just believe me, I know. If you watch the other podcasts I host, I know what I'm doing. I'm very professional out here. It's all a ruse. Boneworks.
Also, Papa's gonna be mad hearing you say that you host it as well, so.
He can't get more angry at me than he is right now anyway, so. I host.
Are you guys having a lover's quarrel?
No. We're having a friendly quarrel. I haven't seen anything good lately, though. The hit new show on ABC. I know what I'm doing. I'm professional. Boneworks, that's a VR game, correct?
Boneworks is a VR game that has been in development for several years at this point. Several meaning like three, but whatever. It's very heavily like physics driven. It's like everything has collision. You can interact with like everything in the world is like, hey, I want to flip this table over. You just walk over, you lift the table up and just flip it over and everything fucking falls over and it's awesome. Then there's like, you can use anything as like a melee weapon. If there's like somebody you're fighting and there's just like a plank of wood and like, say you busted you destroyed a pallet or something, like a wood pallet, you can pick up part of that and hit someone with it and it's a weapon. It's sweet. Yeah. It's
cool.
It was made by a bunch of gun nerds, so the using the guns in that game is pretty awesome. It has the HK Slap, which is like on the HK MP5 and the MP5K and those kind of rifles and submachine guns. When the gun is empty, the bolt locks back and up, and so when you reload it, you put the mag in, and you're supposed to just push that thing down so it slaps forward and it chambers a new round from the magazine, but you slap that shit, and it is now known as the HK Slap amongst the firearms industry. Ooh. And you can totally do that in the game, and it's fucking sweet.
Neat.
Like, the first time I tried it, I about died. Like, I just kind of fanboyed out. It was awesome.
Cool.
It's very meta. The story is very meta. Like, you are working for a company that is, like, they have VR headsets, and you're supposed to be this dude wearing a VR headset in the game. So, right. Just like, yeah. And it's, a lot of the stuff is like, hey, this is really, really, really heavy on physics and stuff like that. And there's no teleportation locomotion. It's like smooth only. And there's even like at the beginning, the whole tutorial is basically you're walking through like a museum of this company. And one of the exhibits is like this blocky looking Neanderthal guy. And he's got like the teleport arrow going toward like a cheetah. Hmm. And then you hit the button and it's like, early VR experiences were limited to clunky teleportation systems that left much to be desired in terms of locomotion and stuff like that. And I laughed pretty hard at that. There's a lot of just kind of on the nose VR stuff about that game. It's got like a weird Half-Life-ish vibe to it, I guess. Like, you can tell that the people who made it are really big Half-Life fans and like Portal fans as well. Because the company you work for is called Monogon.
Monogon?
And it's very Aperture Science-esque. And there's like puzzles and shit. Like, before this game came out, they didn't really show much about what the game actually is. They were just doing like, hey, look, our guns are fucking awesome. Or here's how the index controllers work with this game and stuff like that. But no, it turns out there's like physics puzzles, and there's a whole bunch of guns that are just basically like the gravity gun from Half-Life. Stuff like that.
Huh.
You can climb stuff, but the climbing is not great because everything's physics based.
Sure.
And the way it's implemented is because like when you grab something and pull yourself up, like everything just like shakes. Like it just like because your body is like spring loaded. And so it's like if you're sensitive to motion sickness and you're at least able to play with a smooth locomotion, that'll probably make you sick. Because there's some parts where you have to climb for at least a minute or two, and it's just like wobbling and your fucking head's just going all over the goddamn place while you're trying to like hand over hand climb shit. So that wasn't implemented very well. They vastly overestimated how long or underestimated how long it was going to take people to finish each level. So there's no like save points, like checkpoints.
Right. Oh.
So, well, okay, here's the thing. It's weird. If you die, there are death checkpoints. Like, you'll come back and like everything will have already happened. Like, you don't have to do physics puzzles again or anything. It's like it's like you're in a VR game. Like, you're just a person in a VR world that is persisting. So it's like, oh, if my guy died, I can go find where I died, go pick my guns and shit back up.
Mm.
Like, all the dudes I killed are all still dead. But if you quit before the end of the level and you come back, you have to start the whole level over again.
Yeah.
And each one of those levels takes like 90 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And they thought it was going to take like 30.
Holy shit.
Because I read, they did a whole thing on their discussion forums like, hey, we thought this game was only like 4 hours long, but it turns out it's taking people like 12 hours to finish it.
I wonder if that's because people are just looking around a hell of a lot, just fucking around with everything.
That's what I was doing. I was just like, this game's fucking cool. I'm just going to goof around and see what stuff I can find that's in like the corners and shit like that. And just find secrets and stuff. Because there are things to unlock. And it's like, if you found a secret, you unlock the sandbox mode, which you can like just spawn in NPCs and like...
Oh, neat.
Do a bunch of other cool shit, which I did not find the unlockable for the sandbox mode. So I need to go find out where that is and go load that level up and go grab that.
Does this game have, like, natural locomotion? Is that the thing? Does that have support of that?
I mean, if you use... You can use that program called Natural Locomotion to essentially do that. Because it's just smooth locomotion with a stick or a trackpad or whatever.
Fair.
So you're just sliding around, basically.
Have you seen if this has, like, knuckles support?
It does, yeah. That was, like, the big thing.
Oh, okay.
That was, like, their big thing was all their YouTube videos. It was like, look, you don't have to hold the controllers. And, like, look at us holding this crowbar in the game. And you can adjust where your hands are on the crowbar. Because it's just like you're not holding anything until you're holding the controller. And then, yeah. Like, that was the big thing on YouTube. Like, if you went and looked up for, like, Knuckles controllers before they were named the Index controllers or whatever. It was mostly stuff from the YouTube channel Node, which is basically Stress Level Zero, the developer. That's like their YouTube channel. It's like Stress Level Zero is like their in-house game development company that kind of like spun off from like this movie, like short movie 3D animation YouTube channel thing.
So my question is,
game's cool.
Is this Half-Life, Alex? Sort of? A little bit?
No.
You mentioned a crowbar?
Yes. There are headcrab-ish enemies.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're VR headsets with legs that like try to clamp onto your face.
And, like, That's cute.
They're like, yeah. And the artwork in the game is pretty cool. Like the posters and stuff. Like I want a Monogon poster. It's this dude in a suit and he's got a headset on and it's really stylized and looks really cool. I was like, I want one of those. Just to put on my wall somewhere. Or a Monogon Industries shirt. I can probably go buy one of those right now.
I don't know. I just feel like you're describing a lot of the aspects that I thought made that Half-Life Alyx trailer look good. Like physics-based, you know, doing this kind of stuff. Like it just seems a little similar, at least. Just a little similar.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay. That's fair. But crowbar.
Yeah, but this game seems a lot more jokey and everything. And,
well, sure.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very meta. The atmosphere of the game is very meta, like VR meta. Like, you know you're in a game. But then there's also things like there's graffiti on the walls and stuff, sort of like in the Portal games, where there's like the Rat Man or whatever who's writing messages on the walls.
The Rat Man?
And there's funny stuff like, you'll come across one that says, what if this is just a tech demo? Or there was a room that I was in that was just full of boxes. It had like one crate that you open it up and there's usually like guns or something in these crates. Like they look the same. It's like, oh, hey, I found a gun crate. Cool. Like open it up. This was like a side room. I had to go find a key for it. Wasn't a thing. It's like, hey, I need this to proceed. It was a side room.
Right.
And it's like, there's this case, and there's a whole bunch of boxes and shit. And I got kind of bored, and I was just like, took my crowbar, just breaking boxes. And then the graffiti on the wall behind all the boxes says, "What are you even doing?"
That's cool.
I thought that was pretty funny.
It's a nice touch. Oh, cool.
But then there's things like, where it's just like helping you out. It's like, hey, look up, or beware of this thing, or it's like, you need to reset the clock, which is the big thing. That's like, you're trying to go to the time tower to reset the clock, because the clock has stopped. You're trying to fix the game.
Gotta fix the clock, Mason.
There was one thing that I didn't like about the guns, and it was that it has the HK slap, but you can't use the bolt release on the side of the AR-15, which is, I've yet to see a VR game that does that yet. And I figured Boneworks would be it, because everything's physics-y, like your hands collide with the guns and stuff right. That you pick up. So when an M4 or an AR-15 is empty, the bolt locks open. So you take the old mag out, you put the new one in, and then on the left side of the rifle, there's a latch, and you can hit that, and that'll drop the bolt and then chamber a new round. Or you can pull the charging handle, which will do the same thing, which is what you do in the game. But I was like, come on, you guys are gun nerds. Why can't I slap the bolt release on the side of the gun instead of having to pull the charging handle every time? Little tiny thing, you know, just something that
sure
a gun nerd like me would notice and to kind of expect from this kind of a game. It's like, hey, you guys have the ability to actually make this work.
Right.
I wonder if they'll end up adding that eventually.
I noticed that if you put the new magazine in and you pull the trigger once, that drops the bolt. Which I was like, come on. I was like, that's cool, but it's like, come on. Huh. I want to be punished for not charging the gun after I put the magazine in. Or not dropping the bolt.
Punished.
Yeah, that's gotten me killed in standout several times. Where it's like, my gun is empty, I put a new mag in, and I'm in the middle of a fight, and I forget to charge it and chamber a round, and I aim at the guy, click, I'm dead. It's like, shit. But I want that in my games.
Sure.
So that and the climbing. Climbing's... ugh. And there's a section at the very end where you have to climb a very, very, very long ladder. We're talking like Metal Gear Solid level of ladder.
Does Snake Eater play? Is that...
No.
Oh. I wanted Snake Eater to play.
And the story doesn't really make sense. I kind of had to look up what the ending meant. Because I apparently missed a very important part at the very, very, very beginning, or else it would have been pretty clear as what was happening. But that's Boneworks.
Cool. Seems neat.
$30, totally worth it. Took me like 11 hours to beat the story mode. But that was with restarting several of the levels like halfway through.
Because
I got tired and just kind of like quit. And I didn't realize that. It's like, oh, shit. But they're working on something for that. They're going to do like...
Well, that's good.
Save points or something like that.
I'm glad it's like, but they're still kind of working on it, tinkering it with it. That's neat.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, speaking of another game people are working on, Mary, you and I played Warframe.
Oh, yeah.
Say the word for me.
Empyrean?
Empyrean. I could see that
Empyrean
now.
Is the new, like, big content thing that came out that enables, like, the multiplayer ship combat. Using the railjack.
It's Sea of Thieves in space.
Yeah, it's Sea of Thieves, but actually fun. Like, there's no treasure hunt bullshit.
Smoke them.
Like, I enjoy it so much more than Sea of Thieves. Like, it has some, like, player roles, basically, like Sea of Thieves. You have to repair your ship, like Sea of Thieves. You have to worry about shields. You have to worry about, like, ship health. People will board your ship, mainly the Grineer. You start a mission, after somebody has already built and completed a Railjack, which takes quite a while.
Yep.
Last night I started building the fuselage, which is like one of four parts that you have to recover and then use a shitload of resources to actually build, like repair. And it took 12 hours to do the fuselage. So I'm glad I started on that last night. I'm going to do the next chunk and play a lot of Index so I can get a million credits and repair the second piece of the ship.
Yep.
So it's going to take me like a week, probably, I'm guessing, to get my own ship. But Rapid already did the work. Rapid put from in the time. The,
friend of the show.
From the Giant Bomb clan. He set up his Railjack for us. He made sure we had enough repair juice, which is what we're calling it. there's a forge on your ship where you can construct like munitions for like the big heavy gun. There are a lot of resources that you basically have to keep track of while you are doing these specific missions. There's like a skill tree thing for that you need to level so you can do specific actions on the ship. And you can earn points to get that skill tree stuff, but you can't actually assign things to that skill tree until you have your own ship, which is why I'm building one for myself now. It's a complicated system, but this game mode really feels worth it. Like, there are two guns on each side. You have a main pilot that can also fire like a giant orbital cannon. You can exit the ship and fly around and board like other crew vessels and then destroy them from the inside.
Or take them over onto your side.
Yes. You shoot down fighter jets. It's great.
So can you board other player ships?
So far, no. It's just like enemy CPU, like NPCs or whatever that you're boarding.
I was going to say, that would suck. It's like, I spent a week and a half grinding for this fucking thing and built it, and I got out in space, and somebody stole it from me. Cool.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's all just going to be PvE stuff. I don't think there's going to be PvP like Sea of Thieves.
I don't know.
Maybe later on, but right now it's just PvE. There's a lot of ship customization, though. Like, you can buy different skins for your Railjack. You can color them, name them.
There's a giant toe.
Yeah. You
know, finger, toe.
Yeah, there's a giant finger powering your spaceship somehow.
Nobody knows what it is. There's just a giant finger on the ship.
It's a giant mummified looking finger that's encased in like in tech. It looks like a glass casket kind of hooked up with wires, and it's a big old person-sized mummified finger. It's interesting.
You hear knocking if you go near it, which is the weird thing. Somebody's like knocking on the inside. It's very strange.
So hopefully we'll find out what the deal is with that later, because Warframe's crazy. But
maybe
this game mode is really a lot of fun. I was surprised with how much fun I had doing it. Like, me, Rapid, Albie, and my husband Gary, we're all playing it. It's basically like a four-person thing. It's a lot of fun. I was surprised. It was the most fun with Warframe that I've had in a long time. Yep. And like I said, like after I ate my dinner, I went back to Warframe, and I was like, I need to start building my ship now because this shit's actually really cool.
Yep.
I don't know. Sorry, I just rambled. What did you think about it, Elvie?
No, it's great. I think it's a fun game mode. It's a good setup, kind of a groundwork of like what they can build with this thing. They might add PvP at some point. They might add other stuff. It's really neat. I'm excited to see where they take it. Excited to see where they kind of blend stuff in, because they did just add that Nemesis system stuff too.
I think there's
ground there. Stuff
with the Nemesis system that actually builds into the ship thing too. It's not in the game yet, but there is another skill tree called Command, and apparently you can, when you have the Nemesis, like the Kuvalich dudes, you can either take them out and kill them, or you can subjugate them and like command them basically. And eventually you're going to be able to crew a ship with all of those dudes that you've taken over. So
it's pretty cool. It's
pretty cool. Yeah. There's like also ship specific mods that you can level up and equip. And so it's got the grind ready to go for you. The
grind is ready.
This seems fun. It's neat to be doing something other than just like getting new weapons or new frames or whatever. Like this is a whole new real gameplay mode and I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yep.
Also, the game is kind of buggy at the moment with this new content. It's buggy. Rapid apparently fell out of his arc wing, like his flying thing, and basically landed on like the atmosphere of Earth somehow, and he wasn't able to come back to the ship. And it took us like 20 minutes, I'm assuming, of just trying to hunt him down and respawn him back onto the ship. Eventually, Albie, you were able to like fly the ship down where he was because Gary basically found him by flying, and you could see where Gary was. And he used the respawn like unstuck command to where he like basically fell onto the ship, and he was able to like walk around the rail jack, the outside of it, and eventually like drop in somehow. But yeah, that was a time.
It was good.
He uploaded it to YouTube, and I will link that right now. But that was crazy.
So crazy. He had to be, like, ignoring collision with objects or something like that. So it was all like, oh, my God, what a pain. But also, what a great time. Neat. It was a neat thing.
It was a crazy moment for sure. Yeah. Like,
didn't think our experience would end like that after we said, let's just play one more and then let's wrap up. And then, oh, no. Oh, no.
And then everything broke. Everything breaks. But in an amusing way. It was fine. But yeah, I'm excited. I like Warframe again. Gary doesn't have to, like, be like, come on, Mary, let's play Warframe. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna play Idolmaster. You play Warframe.
And I guess the cool thing
is Idolmaster. I'll go for it.
Oh, I was always gonna say the cool thing is like I'm not up to like some crazy level, and I was able to just get on the ship and feel like I was doing things. So you know, if you're just like, hey, let me just jump in and check this out. If you have somebody that has a ship that you know, you just kind of come in and play around a little bit. Which I think is good
for that's a game cool, like Warframe. Yeah.
Which is such a long grind to get up to a level. You could just jump in.
Yeah,
and do
I
this
think
thing.
Like the only thing you really need is you have to have like an arc wing or whatever unlocked, the little personal flight thing, which doesn't take too long in the game.
No.
But I think that's like the only thing you really need.
Yep. Speaking of
How is Idolmaster going? What's the Christmas stuff?
Idolmaster's fine. They already did the Christmas gotcha. I got a lady in a snowman outfit. She looks great. I don't know.
How's the Digimon
gotcha? No, fuck Digimon. I'm not done talking about Idolmaster. This will be one last thing and then I'll shut up.
Great.
They changed the way the SSR outfits work in the game. Originally, when you got a fancy outfit, it was tied to that specific card.
Yeah.
So you had to use that specific card whenever you wanted to see it. Now the outfits are tied to each individual character. So no matter what card you're using, you can pick that outfit as long as you have it unlocked. So say you like this one character, but the card you're using for like the gameplay meta, like the stats or whatever, has like an ugly ass outfit and you like her other outfit better. Now you can set that outfit to that card, like it doesn't matter anymore. And I have been waiting for them to do that forever, and it's just awesome that they finally actually fixed the game to where you can do that. Like I thought maybe they wouldn't be able to do it.
Huh, neat.
But yeah, the Digimon crossover event hasn't happened yet. Oh, okay. So
what about this, the Digimon re-arise, our friends? The one game of this I play, the one gacha game I play. How's that doing? You've been on for a while?
I'm still playing it, yeah. They have Christmas event coming up soon, where you can get Angel Woman. So
great, perfect.
Start playing it some more.
In a Santa outfit?
No, she just has a green outfit. But here's
oh my goodness,
you can't.
The what? Color
snowman man lady.
Oh, there you
Christmas
go.
Lady.
Christmasy. Yeah, she's got a snowman outfit. Whoopee.
Snowman. Neat.
So yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to bring up phone games.
No, that's fine. Speaking of phone games, Mary, let's go and talk a little bit about that other phone game you're playing. Sakura Taisen.
That's not a phone game. It's a Sega Saturn
well,
game.
Oh, son of a bitch. Okay, I didn't know. I tried with that one.
That's a Sega Saturn game that came out in 1996. A translation patch for it finally came out today. So I played a little bit of it. Yeah, today, just somebody tweeted it and they're like, hey, here's a patch. Download the link for the patch at this YouTube. And so
at
I did.
At this YouTube. Yeah. Come on over.
Yeah.
It's in
very
the description.
Legit.
It's fine. Just click on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Exactly. And wow, they did a really good job. Like, all of it's fully translated. It's amazing. You can play it like a real regular video game. It's crazy.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird because this game has been out forever and people have attempted to translate it multiple times. So it's just cool that somebody finally actually fucking did it.
Neat.
I think I might stream it later, but yeah, it's actually out in English. I actually own this game. Like, it's wow. Crazy. I've owned it forever. I have a special edition that came with a mouse pad and stickers nice. And shit. So, yeah, because this used the Sega Saturn mouse. Yeah.
What? The Sega
That's
Saturn
the thing
had a
that
mouse?
Exists. Yeah.
Sega Saturn
yeah.
had a mouse. His name was Ratatouille.
Sega Saturn no. mouse.
I feel like all of us are basically Googling this.
Yeah, I'm like looking this fuck? Up right now. Like, I have no idea. This is bizarre. That I mean, I don't know. That Twin Peaks game just got translated not too long ago, so things happen.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm glad people are, like, getting better at... Because they had to do a lot of work with this game. Like, the amount of text is basically twice that in English than it is in Japanese. So they actually had to hack shit. They had to mess with the battle menus to get the text to display properly. Like, it took a lot of work, which is why it hadn't been done until now. But I'm super excited to play that because basically all of the Sakura Taisen games take place in the same universe and characters from the previous games will show up in the newer games. This new Sakura Wars game that's coming out this upcoming year, 2020, on the PS4, has characters from this first game actually in it. So it'll be cool to actually play these games in order and know what's going on with that.
Huh. I had no idea. That's cool. Interesting. I would be interested to see you stream that. That's a... I would have no idea.
Yeah.
Well,
you looking up the shuttle mouse still?
There's a Netlink mouse as well.
That's what okay. I saw.
Shuttle mouse? Netlink mouse? It's a regular red wall up in that Sega Saturn. No? That's a no?
I know what Redwall is, but no.
When are they going to make a Redwall game? I feel like that would be a good video game. You could do that.
I'm pretty sure that Brian Jacques put the kibosh on that at some point. Probably.
Oh.
Or somebody of his, like, estate was like, nah.
Oh. Well, what about a Mouse Guard game? From the classic tabletop RPG / comic book series.
I would play the shit out of a Redwall game, though, for sure. Like, 100%.
Sure.
So would my little brother.
Robert loves Redwall.
He loves those fucking books, yeah.
Robert loves Redwall.
Only read a couple of them, but they're good. I enjoyed. Very good descriptions of food in those games.
High quality
yeah.
food. In those books.
There's a cookbook. Yeah. Look it up.
Oh,
someone
what?
Released a cookbook on it. Yeah, Redwall cookbook. It's very good. Let me recommend to you Strawberry or Raspberry Fizz from that cookbook. Very good.
I could go for that right now.
Yeah. Can I find that on howtodrink.com?
You can.
That's a callback.
You probably could find it online, actually. Or probably, anyway, I won't look it up now. But check that out. It's a cookbook. Go look it up. Mary, speaking of cooking, I hear...
Oh, I thought you were going to say, speaking of small animals fighting.
I could do either one. Speaking of cooking, yeah. Pokemon Sword and Shield has cooking in it. What great recipes have you cooked up for your friend Pikachu?
It's all curry. Like, that's the not only good thing for his stomach. Make. It's just variations of curry, so, yeah.
It's a balanced Pokemon diet.
He's fucked curry. Up on the inside. It's not good.
Just curry. Like,
for Pikachu.
Yeah, you don't want to know how they deal with that.
Oh, God.
The cam starts the day after our MS.
<It's so funny>. Yeah. But yeah, I beat Pokemon Shield.
Okay.
It was kind of anticlimactic. I miss fighting the Elite Four. Huh. Like, this tournament thing is not... It's no substitute for the Elite Four. You basically just fight the gym leaders again. And they actually have teams like real gym leaders now, where they have more than like three Pokemon and they're actually powerful and know good moves, and it's more like of a real fight. So I appreciated that part, but I miss the Elite Four. They were fun.
So
okay, go ahead.
I did the semi-final matches, and I guess the fucking final match where you destroy Hop and just destroy his dreams like he deserves. What happens after that? Do I have to fight the gym leaders again?
Yes, yeah.
Huh, why? What's their logic behind that?
I guess they're part of, like, the championship tournament. Like, they have That's a dumb. Tournament thing, and it shows,
the tournament
like,
of
oh,
champions.
Here are the gym leaders fighting each other, and then at the end, the winner of that fights the previous year's champion. So by you
winning the gym challenge or whatever, you're, like, the wild card or something. Okay.
Yeah, and, like, the Marnie girl and Hop also qualify.
Fucking what? But you just beat them. What?
Yeah,
why are they there?
I don't get it either. It's don't know.
Losers are allowed to win the belt still.
I guess as long as you beat the gym challenge, you can also do this champion thing. I don't know.
Why can't Hop just accept that he needs to go back to his hometown and breed Wooloos all day?
To go home and be a Pokemon man.
Yep.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Hop becomes very important at the very end of the game, too. So
I refuse to believe that.
Hop's the best. Hop, big fan of Hop. Everyone's giving him a hard time.
Hop is truly the worst character in that game.
He's bad, but you gotta...
Name a worst character.
Name a worst Pokemon character? Are we going there? What's the worst Pokemon character?
In Sword and Shield.
Oh, well, I have no idea.
Okay, so the last Pokemon game I played was Pokemon Yellow. So, way back, I was unaware that the concept of the Elite Four has been in all of the games since.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Are they just like a phenomena? That I'm guessing they're phenomena. Different every time, right? It's like...
Nice. Yeah,
they're different people.
Yeah, of course.
In each region, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it helps that most games are in different regions.
Right, it's just weird that the concept of the Elite Four goes between the regions.
They
like,
should
we're
make
the elite, We're the Elite Four of
North
whatever
America
the first one is, the
shit.
First one.
Kanto.
Kanto.
Kanto,
yeah.
There's a hand.
Hoenn,
that's it.
Hoenn.
Johto.
Yes, Johto. And then I can't remember the recent ones' names. Cause...
Galar is our current latest
yes,
one.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's another story thing that happens besides the championship thing, but overall, it's just kind of like, eh. I guess now I have post-game stuff to do. Just collect Pokemon.
Right.
Make shinies.
Shiny hunt. Did you get your Ditto? Your Japanese Ditto?
No, not yet. Like, I just wanted to basically beat the game, like, mainline the story, because after you beat the story, it does unlock more stuff, like, in the game world. So I just wanted to get that done with, really. And I did. And then I haven't played any more Pokemon after I beat it. So I started playing other stuff.
They should...
I'll get back to it.
They should make a game where all the Elite Four are congregated into the Elite Master Championships or some shit.
Yeah, that's a good idea for a story.
Like the Elite 16 or some shit. And then,
that would
like,
be cool.
One of them gets ill, so you take their place or some shit.
Sure.
Well, like, normally in the post-games of previous Pokemon, there are, like, battle towers. And if you could have, like, extra characters that were, like, super elites or whatever that you could fight in that would be really, really cool. But as far as I know, the battle tower type thing in this game is just you challenging those same gym leaders over again. So,
So speaking of games that you may have moved on to, Mary, games that you might have chosen to play over Pokemon Sword and Shield, tell me about Control.
Well, I've been trying to go through Control, and I played a lot more of it, but right now I'm stuck at this Object of Power boss, that's a real son of the bitch, and it frustrated the fuck out of me, and I tried playing it all night, trying to beat this boss, dying over and over again, and I know what I need to do, I just can't execute. I need to use the mind control on the ads, make sure I don't get hit by the stuff being thrown at me, because that basically takes down my health to, like, nothing, and then just focus on the dude. And I got within, like, a tenth of his life, like, 3 or 4 times, but then I would fuck it up and get hit and die. So that really, that stressed me out. I was stressed out the rest of the night after I quit playing. I had nightmares all night because my brain was just pissed off and wouldn't go to sleep the rest of the way.
True horror. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember that fight, because there was a boss fight that I just kind of plowed through. Like, I didn't even realize the guy had a health bar until it was like that much left. I'm wondering if it was that guy. Was it the security dude? Like, this head of security? I don't even remember his name.
No, it's, this is where you're in the Panopticon, like the prison kind of type area, and you need to take care of a TV that makes, like, a, I forget the artist's name, but he rotates all the scenery, and it, crap, I can't remember that dude's
name.
It
spins
name. It? Where it's like the upside down staircases, yes, exactly, yeah, thank you. You have to walk through a hallway that's all spirally.
Salvador? And then, is that his name? Is it Salvador?
No, that's Dolly.
I don't know.
That's surreal.
I don't know the name of
MC
the boss.
Escher is the artist you're thinking of.
No, yeah, but I know. I thought it was Salvador is probably the boss of what she's talking about.
Oh, okay.
He's a psychic man, right? Not a giant snake monster. Correct? Correct?
He's a man, yes.
I'm trying to remember it's that fight.
The name of the boss is Salvador, and it's the Benikoff TV, apparently, after Googling. Hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that just really pissed me off, so I haven't gone back to it yet, because I'm afraid to.
True
like,
fear.
I tried going to Ati, the janitor, to see if he had any more missions for me so I could get some more ability points and make myself fancier. And no, like, there's nothing I can do right now to power myself up. Like, I just need to go through and beat this boss. But, yeah. He was
a challenging foe.
Pain in the ass.
A challenge foe.
So, I'm reading this Eurogamer.net guide. Salvador is the second boss fight in Control. That's not true. Maybe not.
This is the fight that I just plowed through, apparently.
Okay.
Like, I think at this point in the game, I had my launch all leveled, like, completely up, and my pistol was completely decked out, and I just hit him with, like, three rocks and just shot him in the head a bunch, and he just died. Like, the boss fight was, like, less than a minute long for me. Like, I was that supposed to be a boss fight? Like,
it's true.
I'm not trying to flex. I'm just saying it was weird. No, like, even I was just like, what? That was weird. I think that was supposed to be harder than I don't know.
I think maybe the gun I was trying to use is too shitty. I have read that you should use, like, the sniper rifle type gun.
Sure, I could do that.
And he's, like, taken out in basically three hits, like you were saying. I just need to go back and do it, but I've just been like, God damn it. Why couldn't I beat that boss? So I haven't bothered to try it again.
And I think before you go into the room, they're all just like floating. And I think I killed all four of the other guys with launch first. And then I started the fight off with hitting him as he's still floating just before the boss fight even started. I started it by hitting him with a chair or something and threw something at him. And then that stunned him. And I went down and just blat, 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 blat.
I think I used the spin. I think I used spin. Because then I put two damage mods on spin, and then a fire rate or whatever mod, and I just emptied the clip really quickly into them. And then
I used the pistol for like 99% of that game. I didn't use anything else.
Okay.
I tried using the sniper rifle on the second Tomasi fight, which I never finished because that fight is fucking bullshit. Like, that's the one quest. I have like 98% of that game. The last quest I didn't do was the second optional Tomasi fight, because I went and I tried it like seven times, and I was like, no, fuck this. This is dumb. Really? And I uninstalled it. And I was like, I'll wait for the DLC. I'll come back to this eventually.
So do you know, like, how far in the game I am, like, getting to the Panopticon and stuff?
They're pretty far.
You're about halfway.
Probably a little. Okay. I'd say. I feel like 60. 60%. Panopticon.
Like, I'm getting a big chunk of the story. Like, I know what the deal is kind of now, so I felt like, oh, maybe this is near the end. But that's good to hear that I'm not, like, at the very end. Yeah. So I would be kind of disappointed.
No, you got a ways to go still.
No, yeah.
Okay, good.
I don't remember which came first, the Panopticon or another thing, so I won't say it. So we'll see.
I think, Albie, you're thinking of the levels of the containment area that has, like,
yes,
this is the first level, and there's the second level and the third level. You're thinking of that. This is way before that.
Okay. Probably am. Panopticon's that big thing where you could fly around. Yeah, okay. That's right. Everything's, like, moving.
Well, I can't fly yet. I can't levitate yet. Spoilers, like, I've gotten to areas that... No, it's fine. Like,
yeah, spoilers. They only fly around in the trailer for the game.
But I feel like I'm going to be able to get that soon. Yeah, like, I've encountered an area where they're like, oh, seems like you won't be able to cross this ledge to get to this thing. And I'm like, okay, I need the flight. I get it.
Did you save the poor guy having to watch the refrigerator yet?
Not yet. I was like, I got to take care of this one thing.
I got to
take care of the TV, and I'll come back for you. But I felt really bad. Yeah.
He's like, I've been watching this for hours. Right now? I can't blink. Help. And it's...
So has he just been, like, using the facilities in his pants?
I've been imagining he's not been having a great time. Yeah.
He seemed very stressed out. So, yeah.
I would not want to be the man having to do refrigerator watch duty when all this shit happens. So rough one for that guy. Well, cool.
I mean, he was still awake and everything, so he's doing his job. I don't know. Maybe they go into stuff later. Don't spoil it.
I won't. I won't spoil it. Okay. DJ, sir. Tell me about Slaying Spires.
I've been playing a little bit of that, mostly this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying last week that I finished it with the green guy, Poison Darts Man, and it at the end game it unlocks the weird, like, triangle with their colors, and, like, his started glowing up. So I figured I'll try and start working my way through the red guy and figure out what his like game type is. And in the first run, I finished it. I did the cities already. I think a large part of it helps knowing what enemies are coming up.
Right.
So, like, getting a game plan ahead of time already for said enemies, or knowing that these weird, spiky-looking enemies in the third map are going to constantly increase their thorn damage. So you have to preemptively deal with that before their thorn damage gets too much. Stuff like that, you learn ahead of time. And yeah, the red guy is a mix of, like, just mostly doing a ton of damage while gaining block through said damage attack cards or something like that. So it was interesting to get through that with that system, but it is indeed totally just using the attacks to gain block at the same time and then deal a shit ton more damage. I'm kind of blanking on what specific build I went for with him, because I totally forget at this point. But some of it involved like healing HP as well at the same time. The blue guy is even weirder in the sense that he has the orbs. So you start out with like 3 empty slots, and then you start with a lightning orb, and that's just passively there. So at the end of the turn, it's just going to do 3 damage to a random enemy. But you can get other orbs, like there's a frost orb where it'll give you like 3 block at the end of your turn. Or a dark orb. I haven't seen any other orbs, just those 3. And the dark one will not do any damage, but after the end of every turn will double in damage. So it'll have a passive number saying like 3 or 6. And then at the end of the turn, it'll add that number to the bottom number, which is a total of the damage. And you can, like, there's a word for it, I forget what it's called, but you can activate these orbs, like the rightmost orb, to essentially do double the thing.
Invoke.
So it'll invoke. It'll double the lightning damage to like 6 or 8. It'll double the frost, so you get more block. You get about 8 block or more. And then the dark thing is whatever your total is at that bottom one, it like I think it doubles that essentially. So you can like leave one stacked for ages, and then it'll just do a ton of damage when it finally gets invoked. Blue guy has a lot of like not so much block, but a lot of like power cards, as well as like some special like healing cards as well. I found a power card where it's like, hey, at the end of combat you just get 7 HP.
Whoa.
Which is very nice. You have to activate it, but once you do that, you're fine. So there were a few battles where I was ready to kill a person quite quickly, but had to stall till I had said power card activated. And yeah, there's a couple of like 0 cards. I haven't figured out the perfect system for him because I was trying to go for the power build.
I
had a card which would give me a random power card at every turn, and I would just keep activating power cards. Then there was a couple of cards which I think I'll try and focus on next time called like Claw, where every time you use the claw card, it increases the damage of it for the combat by 2, but it increases the damage of every claw card. So it starts off with like 3 damage, and it's a 0-point card, so it's a free hit as well. Then it goes to 5 on every card, then it goes to 7 on every card. So if you stack like 5 claws in your deck or something, if you can find them, you can totally like rack up the free points very, very quickly. And it's not an exhaust card either, so it doesn't go away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it loops, so you can get a lot of damage that way. So I think next time I might do Power Claw and just finding block as many ways as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also, like, lightning builds, so, like, a couple of the powers is, like, one of the powers is all enemies get hit with the lightning instead of just a random enemy, so instead of doing 3 damage to one enemy, it's 3 damage to all. And then it also invokes 2 lightning, which you can upgrade to 3 lightning. So by that time, hopefully you have like 3 stacks of lightning anyway. So you're just effectively doing like 12 damage immediately with that card, as well as making sure everyone gets said 12 damage, because lightning now affects everyone.
Everybody's affected by lightning, I found, really, in life. It hurts, just generally.
So yeah, like...
That's a lot of damage, as one would say. Mm-hmm.
Truth.
Yeah, so he does... I like him. I like his character because he does a lot of damage to everyone once you get that power card activated, which can be useful for certain items. And... like, the invoked items, like the lightning, doesn't trigger effects. So if an enemy has thorns or something, it's not going to trigger said thorns, which is extremely useful for those assholes in, like, the third map, which are going to make... so they have, like, 12 thorn damage. As long as you're not actively dealing damage via a card, you can totally just whittle them down.
Okay.
So yeah, like, I think the reason I got through the red card quick, the red guy quick enough, was just knowing the enemies and knowing how you can deal damage with them. But yeah, hopefully next time I will be able to figure out what the triangle is and see what that unlocks. Because I don't want to look it up on the internet.
Triangle okay. Man.
Triangle Man.
I hope it's a Triangle Man.
Triangle Man.
That would be cool.
Cool. And then you also played some Car Battle Royale.
Yes, this was announced randomly a couple days ago. Forza Horizon 4 decided to get, but, well, largely because I'm also getting like the daily cars there. But Forza Horizon 4 announced they got some Car Battle Royale system going called the Eliminator.
What? How does this work?
So it's on the English map. What it does is, once it creates a session, you pick a location to start on the map, and then everyone's given a Mini Cooper, a level 1 car. There's drops out in the field by, like, giant drones that have, like, flares on them, so you can kind of see them. They're, like, sometimes on street corners or something, but they're also meant to be, like, at landmarks or well-known places on the map, so... sometimes it's worth it to, like, drop next to a landmark or in a city or just on a hill, because then you can just look as far as you can to see some flares so you can drive next to it.
Huh.
And then those will have, like, random... well, it won't be random cars, but it'll tell you what the car is when you're close up to it, if not inside it.
Huh.
But they're random in that you don't quite know what they are until you get right next to it. Sometimes it'll be, like... a high-end Porsche, which will be like tier 6 or 7 or 8, or like it'll be a Ford Raptor truck or something like that.
Huh.
Which is like level 2 or 3. But that is good because the method of eliminating someone is by racing them. And all you have to do is drive up to someone and honk your horn. They don't have to honk back. So like once you honk your horn, you're basically in a match. And... it'll pick a random location that's probably like 1.5 miles or 2 miles away, and you have to drive to it. And more often than not, you're going cross country. So getting a truck is actually way more beneficial than like a high end sports car. Right. And if you beat said person, then you have the option to take their car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you beat someone that has a higher tier car or something, you can then take their car. One time I beat someone with a lower tier, like, I was being the asshole and had a Mitsubishi Lancer and challenged a Mini Cooper, just destroyed them. And then it gave me the option to, like, take their car, and I didn't. And then, like, it just upgraded my car to a Porsche, so I was very confused by that. Yeah, it wasn't even listed on the, like, option. Or, no, sorry, it was listed on the option. It was just there instead of the Mini Cooper. So I was like, that's kind of weird that you're, like, sure, benefiting the rich. Like, rich someone get richer, lucked man. Into getting yeah, someone lucked into getting a good drop and now you're just giving them more opportunities to get better cars.
I guess that encourages you to, like, go out there and actually race and beat other people, yeah?
Yeah.
Instead of just hiding or whatever.
The hiding game's not bad, because you gotta remember that this at the start of the game, it's the entire, like, world map. So as long as you find, like, a level 4 or 5 car, which is pretty easy to do, you can then just hide, because it'll kind of show where cars are on the minimap. So as long as you just keep driving in a direction where it isn't showing cars, you should survive into that final race, which is after X amount of, like, shrinkages. It'll give a tiny zone in the map, and then all the head-to-heads will stop, and then in, like, 20 seconds it'll find a random location. So my guess is what they do is they try and assume that most cars are based on where they are in the final circle. They, like, if most cars are in, like, the west, they'll try and put the thing on the east side just so that, like, people on the west side aren't immediately right there, and, like,
right,
it's a really small race. So what I did once, I gambled on that and I was on the way other side of everyone else, just found a highway, so I was just already going at full speed when, like, the thing started, and completely lucked that it was the right way, so I was already at full speed driving to the right direction. Nice. And I won that one. I think that's the way to do it in that final race, is not wait in the middle or anything. Just take your pick in direction, try and figure out on the minimap where the obvious direction is, like, if the north is very much blocked, or if, like, the east is, like, going up a mountain, it's not going to be those.
Sure.
Or, like, if it's going through a river down south, it's not going to be that. Just try and use some common sense as to where you would think the car or the computer would pick an end zone, and just drive that way, and you're either going to be first or last, so whatever.
It's life, man. You're going to be first or you're going to be last. Something.
Yep. And if you have, like, a level 5 or 6 car, it's not like you're going to challenge the fight anyway. You need whatever advantage you can get.
Right, sure. Huh. That seems neat. I'll have to try that out. I do have Forza on my computer. I should check that out. Game Pass or something.
I'm going to reinstall it because that actually sounds a lot of fun.
It's kind of fun.
The only Battle Royale I like.
Yeah, there's not... A lot of the time, because it's also off-road one-on-one racing, like, it'll tell you to go via the roads, but more often than
just
not,
go
like,
it's straight.
Way quicker to go straight. Yeah, just gamble on not hitting trees or anything, and you'll make it through. Cool. So, like, a lot of skill in the driving is not necessarily needed most of the time either. You just need to be good enough to, like, drive off-road appropriately.
Okay.
You don't need to take corners the best that you can and stuff like that.
Cool. That seems really neat. I will check that out.
Yeah, me
too. I know
you
had said to me when I was streaming the other day that you should check it out, so I will. Like, cool. That's cool. Neat thing for them to just add. Like, just, I didn't even hear anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
real
here
random.
You go. Yeah. Here's a new Battle Royale for Forza. That's cool. Well, speaking of me streaming the other day, I will briefly talk about the Steam Festival games. You like that one, Mary? I transitioned correctly. I thought of a transition, and I put it in the air, and somebody came down with it. Something that's good. Steam Festival games, this was kind of in conjunction with that Game Awards stuff. I think they put out 12 total games. That you just, like, free demos basically for 24 hours, 28 hours, 24, 28.
I think it was 48, but I missed the window completely because I was couch shopping and then had people over.
I don't have a full list of all the games because now they've disappeared, but I do have most of them still on my computer. There's, like, Acid Knife, Carrion, Chicory, A Colorful Tale. So I'll talk first off. Acid Knife is like a sort of like a, what can you describe it as, like a Hollow Knight, maybe, like sort of a neat look, kind of a platformer a little bit. a little bit of stabby stabby. And it's, you know, it's got a really neat look. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like visually like a shaking kind of aesthetic. The aesthetic kind of moves constantly. Like, it always feels like it's, sort of reminds me of like something like, Return to the Oberdin, like that sort of like weird, like it's got such a weird art style that I don't know how to put it into a context. That's a neat game. Didn't play a ton of that. It was not my favorite, but it seemed neat, and they seemed like they had ideas there. You can get a knife, and to sharpen your knife, you can pick up flint. You have to put your knife on the ground, then you have to use the flint on the knife. It's an interesting like inventory system, it seems like, for that one. And then there's also, I think, you know, everyone knows Carrion. That's that spooky fucking tentacle monster moving through a bunch of vents and killing people and eating them. That's that game.
That was gory. That's, I saw so some good of that. Yeah.
It's a neat game. Also disgusting. Disgusting. Chicory, A Colorful Tale, is a painting game. You play a dog person who has to paint the world colorful again after all the color left. It's a cute, neat little game. Ran pretty well, really fun. Yeah, check it out.
You know, a game is good and you have lots of things to say about it when you say it ran pretty well.
Ran pretty well, you know. Performance was A-okay. There is also Skatebird, the successor to Tony Hawk. Skatebird, Skate 4, but it's Skatebird. Where you play a bird who skates, does cool tricks. That's really early. That is.
I mean, that's when I saw you play the demo, it said December 2019 demo, and it seemed very similar to the demo that I played. Like, the camera was still all wonky and stuff, so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's early.
I don't know if it's really that early. I think that might be how the game is.
It's not good. What else is there? The Drifter is sort of a, what is it, like Monkey Island, kind of like, you know, point and click adventure almost. The neat thing about that is it's like sort of really gruff, and they're implying a lot of weird things story wise. But then I really like the control scheme where you just kind of, you click and you can see all the spots in an area that you can click on. Like it's like an action key that makes you see all the spots. I think that's a really neat way to do that.
They have that in Disco Elysium.
Oh, okay.
And it's appreciated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool. The big, probably, I don't know, the ones I like the most, I mean, Heavenly Bodies, it's co-op, I guess, in space. That's fine. I wasn't impressed with that one. The big three for me was Haven was probably really, really good. It's a strange, like, you go into it and you're thinking it's one thing and it's sort of not. Like, you're cooking apples and stuff in the beginning and it's like anime theme, but it has just this style to it. And then it kind of twists and turns story wise, and you end up in some really interesting situations with that game where you're like, it's part of it is the movement. Like, you're trying to, you have to follow like kind of trails to collect stuff on the ground. You're flying around and stuff. It's a really, really neat game. I'm excited to see it when it gets done. It's really cool. I recommended it to you, Mary, the other day when we were talking.
I wanted to play it, but then I saw that like the Steam trial thingy ran out, and I was like, motherfucker.
It's a shame. The other one was, Moving Out was another one. That's a cool one. That's basically a full game, like ready made. You're playing a moving company person. You've got to pick up boxes and fling them through the wall and stuff like that. Remind me of, like, what's that game? The cooking game that we wanted to play, DJ?
Overcooked.
Remind me a lot of that, but instead you're moving rather than cooking. Seems like a fun game to play with a bunch of people. Little group or something like that. Wooden Nickel was really cool in that it was, the art style in that thing is incredible. It reminds me of, like, a it's all like stick figures, but it's like really well-defined stick figures with like great color scheme. Check.
It's minimalist with like three different colors going on at once is how I would describe it.
Yeah. What was that other one? Everward? That's a cool game. That's the game from people who made Stardew Valley.
Eastward.
Thank you. Eastward.
Also, the dude that made Stardew Valley, this is the same publisher as Stardew Valley. Yeah.
Chucklefish.
Sorry. Right? Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of a Zelda-y kind of game, but then it's got like this really neat art style, sort of cartoony, but also like really depressed color scheme. Like it's got a real like, the color scheme is neat. It's really good. I don't know how to say it other than that.
It's an earthy color palette, I would describe it. Like every color seems like it has some brown mixed in. Sorry, I watched the VOD earlier today of you playing all these games, so they looked neat, and I was pissed off I wasn't able to play them. It's fucking Steam.
Fucking Steam. I think that's it, right? Is there any other? Roki was another one. That's that looks like a neat game. It's kind of an adventure game. Reminds me of sort of like Psychonauts. And then there's Spiritfarer. I think we all saw that at that Xbox E3 thing. It's emotional journey of having a boat and having a bunch of animal people on the boat with you, and you've got to ferry them across the sea and help them.
That kitty cat in that game looked very cute. It was a very fluffy kitty, well animated kitty cat.
Very well animated.
That was your buddy.
You can hug the cat. I mean, I think that's a big one. You can pet the cat. This is a neat thing. We had talked about it a little bit, Mary, but I thought this. The game festival thing is something they could do for E3, you know, especially with streaming stuff becoming so big. Like, hey, here's your chance to do like demos and let people who can't afford to go to E3
Project
or something. Like.
Cloud.
Yeah,
I would much rather buy a digital ticket for that and like play demos on the internet than like have to wait in line in person, even if I could maybe see like Clippy B or whatever the fuck.
Nope. What if there's a digital line?
A digital line for the digital tickets?
I mean, that would suck if I paid money. I don't know. I would maybe be willing to deal with it because at least I would be at home on my computer and able to do other things at once. But yeah.
I just think this is such a neat idea and I had like a great time with it. Especially for stream. It was a lot of fun.
I assume the people were happy because it probably convinced some people to buy or at least like pre-order some of these games.
Oh yeah, like
Wishlist.
Haven was not even on my radar. Wishlist. You know, like that game was not even on my radar, and then I played a lot of it, and I was like, I'm probably gonna buy this game. Like it was really good, so they should be very happy with it. The only game it convinced me not to probably buy was Heavenly Bodies. Like every single all the other ones were like, wow, really great, really neat. Listen, I just don't like co-op, okay? Like, I don't like that. It's a pain. So, it's not my type of game. But, so, everything was cool. We'll finish up the news now, if you would like. The news. Bioshock is going to return. Led by the brand new 2K studio. What do you think of the return of Bioshock? Bioshock. Always a man.
Okay.
Always a tower. Always an ocean.
Lighthouse.
I hope it's better than the last game. Yeah, and it's Lighthouse. But yeah.
I liked Bioshock Infinite.
Infinite was
okay. I like the ending where they went all, here's all the repeated cycles that the main character went through and fucked up. Like, that was cool. Made me think of Evangelion, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the hell they go with Bioshock, but I thought it was a neat news story and that Bioshock's back. Where the fuck do you go with it now?
I mean...
Underground?
It's...
The moon?
It's interesting. Like, of course they would make a new Bioshock game, but it's interesting how many, like, different studios 2K has used trying to make a game, and then they end up canceling it, and that's why there hasn't been another new Bioshock game in a while. So I guess they must have seen whatever this new studio did, and they're like, okay, finally, we'll put this one out.
This is the one.
So that's why they announced it. Yeah.
You got us. We're going to do this one. It's got to be pretty good, because I would imagine they've been canceling quite a few of them over the years now, so this one's probably pretty good BioShock, if I had to take a wild guess. Pretty good pitch, at least.
I assume we'll actually see it at E3. Sorry.
Imagine it's like the moon or something, but it's in like biospheres that you don't realize. So like it's got like simulated day-night cycles on the outside with the, like a fake sun and stuff, and you only realize like X amount of hours into the game. After you exit a door or something. That'd be cool.
Yep.
I would be into
that. It's just a colony ship. You've been on this colony ship so long that you don't remember. It's the Anthem story that somebody pitched a long time ago. We're like, it's us, the colony ship, run wild or whatever. Yeah, I could see that. That'd be neat. But also, I don't know what you would do with BioShock at this point. I don't know.
Space lighthouse
or underground, space or underground, whichever you prefer.
Underground lighthouse.
Hey,
on Mars.
Okay. On Mars. Yep, it's both.
Underground lighthouse on Mars. Oh my God! Just combine all the ideas into one, and you got it. It's all water.
They had to ship water there.
It's always a man, always a lighthouse. That's all I know. Final news story, PlayStation VR 2. Patent design. We'll go to our correspondent on VR, Jake. Thoughts on what apparently is the patent design for this new headset?
I haven't looked at it because I don't give a shit about PSVR.
Well, this has interesting stuff that could be used in other VR headsets, like it apparently has ultrasound transducers that you place on your head so it can tell like where the VR headset is and if you have it positioned properly. And that's crazy.
The future.
Also, the fact that it uses a wireless signal to connect with the PlayStation, like not having to deal with cords, like an Oculus Quest kind of situation, sounds cool too. But yeah, this patent got filed like 3 days ago, so who knows what'll come of it. I just thought it was interesting the way they, like, let me read this quote. The HMD also comprises a sensor for detecting reflections of the ultrasound signals emitted by the ultrasound transducers. In some embodiments, the ultrasound transducers act as sensors. That is, the ultrasound transducers may be configured to both emit ultrasound signals and to receive reflections thereof. The reflections of the ultrasound signals can be used to generate an image of the user's eye. So it's like a weird version of almost eye tracking using ultrasound that's bounced off of
the
user's head, your face, basically. So sounds crazy to me.
Future. We're in Cyberpunk 2027.
And I mean, like a lot of VR headsets have copied the comfortable like top head strap that the PSVR came up with. So maybe it'll work its way into other shit too. I don't know.
Yeah, like the hinged thing is pretty nice. I've used the PSVR like once and I was like, hey, this is actually pretty slick. Tracking's not great, but I'm spoiled.
But this crazy new version of eye tracking that doesn't use cameras and instead uses ultrasound sounded insane to me, so that's why I put it in here.
We'll see, I guess. I've read about it a bit, and it just seems like if they're actually going to make something with this tech in it, the headset's going to cost like $1,000.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's not coming out until the PS5 has been out for a while. Like a couple years or whatever.
Sure, I could see that.
And like, they need to come up with a better tracking for their controllers and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. This is only like a patent relating to the headset and this weird ultrasound thing.
Right.
So who knows what they're going to do with other shit.
Hmm. Well, that's neat. Oh, yeah. Looks cool.
Actually, the headset itself looks kind of dumb. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I think it's just dumb. it's just a patent image drawing, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the Nintendo Switch and the patents only have, like, 2 face buttons. It's like, they just need to make it look like, you just need to understand that it's a headset.
An approximation, yeah.
Yeah, that thing looks fucking stupid.
Yeah, my assumption is the ultrasounds will eventually be just, like, sneakily jammed into the foam somehow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I would think. I don't know. Well, cool. That's all the news I have, everybody. Everybody? Anything else? Anything else for the good of the order?
I have a pretty good Twitch clip from my time with Boneworks. Head over to my channel and watch that shit. It's pretty good. Or go to my Twitter account. That's about it.
Check out Rabbit's clip of Warframe.
Yes, check out that clip of Warframe breaking, because it was weird as hell. And yeah, like I said earlier, I think I might actually stream Sakura Tyson. So if you want to see a late 90s anime-ass anime game, there you go. Help me decide which lady to hit on. I didn't mention earlier, but because of the mouse involvement, like, there'll sometimes be a picture of one of the ladies, and there are different icons depending on which part of the lady you're looking at, or if you want to talk to her. And the icon definitely changes when you look at certain areas.
What does it change to?
A blushing face.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
My goodness. Such lewdity at the end of this episode 185 of Roms Were Baghdad. You can find us every single week, 4:30. Well, maybe not Christmas week, but every single week, 4:30 on Roms Over Baghdad, twitch.tv/RomsOverBaghdad. You can find other stuff we've made on YouTube.com, Roms Over Baghdad YouTube Paradise. At RomsBag is the Twitter account. RomsBag@gmail.com is the email address where you can send things to. Check all that stuff out. Anything else? Anything else that I miss? Did I miss anything?
Did you check the email?
You missed that.
It's probably fine.
No. Okay. Yeah, that'll be episode 185 of Roms Over Baghdad. I've been Albie. DJ just lost his focus there. Really hardcore for a second there. Lost the focus on that camera.
I was checking the email.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
We all putting thumbs up, or what?
Jake
was waving.
We're gonna fade to black. Let's do this. We're fading to black.
Okay. Goodbye.
Everybody have a good week.
Wave
we'll
the
see
Tamagotchi.
You next week. Thank you for hanging out.
The Tamagotchi. You didn't talk about the shadow hands.
No, I didn't. Tamagotchi.
It's probably.
Oh yeah. We were playing Warframe. Keep waving. And there was a nightmare. It had a nightmare and woke up at like 10 o'clock at night, and my Tamagotchi was being chased by giant shadow hands, and it ran through a city being chased by giant shadow hands until it got to a dead end, and it cried. It started crying, and it woke up at the end.
That's terrifying.
All right.
It's weird.
Good night, 185 Rums from Baghdad. Don't get chased by shadow hands out there, folks. We'll see you next time.
All right, everybody have a good week. We'll see you later. Thanks for hanging out.